Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the South Carolina High School Blitz on the SCVarsity.com radio network.
All right, Sunday night means the Sunday drive with the South Carolina High School Blitz. I'm Jim Baxter from SCVarsity.com, joined by my good friend, Richie Altman from the Low Country of South Carolina and Southern Sports Central. Richie, how you doing, man? Did I lose you? I may have lost Richie, but he'll be back with us. So we have got a lot to talk about tonight. Playoffs have started. The playoff brackets are out. 2A is still not completed. They actually put out one that was completed and then took it down, high school league that is, took it down, and it's back up with Region 6 not filled out. Region 6 is not filled out because I guess they're still waiting on the ruling on Oceanside Collegiate and the violation. Richie, do I have you back with me?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
I don't know what happened. Your blog talk sometimes drops calls for no reason. No explanation whatsoever, so that's what I have. I was just talking a little bit about what we're going to be talking about tonight. Going to go over the playoff brackets. We're going to talk about some of the big games we had this weekend that actually decided up some of these playoff matchups. Supposed to have Coach Dean Boyd from York High School, longtime Marlboro County Athletic Director, head coach, on with us. Dean is going to talk to us a little bit about the recruiting fair that they have at the North-South All-Star Game. It's a great opportunity for a lot of the players that don't have offers yet. They can go down and meet with advisors and coaches and take their game film and their highlights and their transcripts and everything with them and meet with officials from different schools that are down there and give them an opportunity to maybe get a financial package of some sort put together for them, scholarship, if you will. To continue not just their football career, but to continue their education. But how are you doing? You guys had a big game down in Somerville this past week.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, it started off good. 30th matchup between Somerville, Fort Dorchester. Coach LePrad did what he normally does. I mean, he brought his A game. He brought, you know, a solid group of coaches, a solid group of players. Somerville jumped up quick, though. It was 14-0 first quarter, and then all of a sudden you see the momentum going the other way. They score 14-7, then Somerville puts up about a 54-yard field goal. It was amazing to see this kid Gregory kick it for a mile. I mean, he kicked it forever there, and it went right between the upright, 17-14, I think it ended up being at halftime. And then Somerville, of course, they struggled a little bit in certain areas. They weren't able to do certain things. I don't want to say too much and give somebody that might be listening to game plan down the road as playoffs are here. But it's one of those things that you know, again, good teams, you know, come to battle. Great teams sometimes have to find ways to win. And right now you're looking at Fort Dorchester. These guys are good. I told you before, their defense is as anybody around the state. And I think it would be a few weeks down the road to see maybe a Dutch Fork in Fort Dorchester, but it definitely would be a heck of a matchup if these two teams squared up.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have a Midlands team that's going to be driving down for a matchup with Dutch Fork this week as Lexington from Region 5 lost Friday night to River Bluff. That game was for second place in the region, so River Bluff will get the second spot. Lexington gets the third. They'll be traveling down to take on Fort Dorchester. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen in that game. I think that, you know, neither one of them, you know, you can't do the transitional comparison because they don't play the same teams. They're different areas of the state, completely different style of coaching. And I think that makes for good games, at least early part of the games, a good first halves of any of the playoff games. But I was going through the scores, Richie, from Friday night, and just a couple of things that jumped out at me. In 2A, Batesburg-Leesville knocks off Saluda. Batesburg-Leesville, who struggled coming out of the gates this year, ends up grabbing second place in that region, which is one of the toughest regions in the state. If you look at, they got Abbeville in there, they've got Saluda, they have Batesburg, Leesville's in there, Silver Bluff, 96 down this year, but you know, they're usually one of the stronger teams, and but for Batesburg to fight back and finish second in the region was pretty good. I saw Berkeley took care of business at Cane Bay, no big surprises there. Elsewhere around the state, C.E. Murray really put it on Scott's Branch. That was one that I was looking at. Dillon, you know, they seem to have recovered well from their loss to Ainer a couple weeks ago. They take on Sherrall. They beat Sherrall 49-21. They're going to finish number two in that region, and that was big for them. I think, you know, you mentioned the Fort Dorchester 35-17 win over Somerville. That was too bad for Somerville. Gaffney. Gaffney is going to finish third in their region, but I'm going to tell you, they're more dangerous than any other three seed in the state, and they take care of business against Spartanburg 63-14. Hard to believe that somebody's wow. beaten Spartanburg 63-14. Spartanburg is definitely down right now. So, but anyway, a lot of great games. Myrtle Beach, of course, gets their win over rival North Myrtle Beach 35-14. They're going to be a number one seed in 4A. You know, RB Stahl, you've talked about Stahl, 35-28 over Ashley Ridge. Man, I thought Ashley Ridge was going to have a chance to finish, you know, maybe as high as third in that region this year, but they just kind of fell apart.
Well, my understanding is, and I haven't got confirmation, you know, they've got the Duncan young man down there that's already committed to go play college ball somewhere, but I think he went down on an injury. And again, when he's down, that changes the entire formation of this team. Say it what you will. I know they brought in Coach Marion, who was the head coach over at West Ashley, an offensive genius. This guy can really run some plays, but you got to have some playmakers to run the plays. And they kind of struggle a little bit over there. If you think about it, you know, when you're competing day in and day out against the Somervilles, the Fort Dorchesters, they do see the Berkeley and that Goose Creek team that we'll talk probably a little bit here tonight as well. You know, that takes a toll on you. If you're not deep enough on the bench, then it makes a very tough season. And by the way, you got to give Stahl credit. They won their first game since 2017, beating Burke earlier this year. They gave Fort Dorchester, they were leading Fort at halftime by two. They played Somerville well, but they did pick up their first region win on Friday night, and that win actually was the win that knocked out the team over there at Ashley Ridge and brought in this West Ashley team that kind of surprises me that they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it does me too. And, I mean, it is really a surprise that a lot of these teams are making the playoffs, to be honest with you. Another low country score that I don't want to say it's a shocker, and I really don't even want to call it a huge upset because both teams are so good. But Wade Hampton and Dr. Jerry Brown getting the win over May River 33-24 to win that region. And, you know, those two – teams are two of the tougher lower state 3A teams. Lower state 3A is going to be a bear to get through this year.
Yeah, it looks to be, you know, the one thing that I think we'll both agree on is that if you look at college, there's so many bowl games, it's kind of watered down, even though I love college football, so don't take it away, but it is what it is. You're seeing that a lot, you know, Jim, when you look at the playoffs. Everybody's making playoffs. Hemingway's hosting a playoff game, and here they are. You know, I don't even know if they've got how many wins they've got. You've got West Ashley struggle to pick up a few wins.
Oh, yeah. Hemingway's 0-10, and they're hosting a game. Let me tell you what happened with that. This is the reason they're hosting a game. This is the reason they're in the playoffs. That was a four-team region that they're in, and what happened was Creek Bridge, who was in that region, was absorbed by Marion High School. So Creek Bridge shut down. They absorbed by Marion High School, so that left three teams in that region. Well, they had three automatics because they were a four-team region. Well, Creek Bridge goes to Marion this year, leaves only three teams in the region, but they've already got the three automatic bids. So Hemingway, who finishes 0-10, obviously they're going to finish last, which is third in that region, gets an automatic playoff bid. So they got a home game as an 0-10 football team, which shows you we got to do something about this playoff system.
Right. I mean, What do you gain out of it? And it's no different than you see some of these smaller schools go play these bigger schools in college where they're going and they're just getting annihilated. Well, at least those schools are getting paid. These high school kids are just saying they made the playoffs, and then that's it. They get one more week of practice, I guess. They get to say they made the playoffs. But I've seen, you know, even the Socrates make it and go play for Dorchester, get blown out, and then have to, you know, who could be season-end injuries for a football player that plays basketball. That may end up correct, you know, fixing him in the basketball world. There's just so many things that maybe – I don't want to go back to a point system, but definitely go to a different system because what we have right now, it just kind of is flooding – the playoff system.
Well, we're going to talk about that in just a little while. I put out an article this weekend called A Simple Plan Part 2. About 8-10 years ago, Richie, I did an article called A Simple Plan, and it was a proposal for a 5-classification system in South Carolina and went over, even had it broken down by regions at the time where these schools were at in terms of their 135 ADM numbers. And pushed it every year. I went, you know, on the radio, on TV, in the newspaper. I just pushed this thing for years. And finally, they adopted a 5-class system that looks very similar to what I had originally proposed. And I think it's time for another simple plan. And this time we're looking at the playoff system. And I've got a couple things. And heck, I tell you what, we'll take a quick break. And we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about it. I want to talk about these proposals because I think this is something that really needs to be looked at. We have too many teams in the playoffs. We got too many teams that are spending money unnecessarily to go on the road and play in the playoffs. And we'll talk a little bit about the financial side of it as well when we get back. But like I said, we're going to take a quick break hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back, talk some playoff systems.
It's calling your taste buds. You know that delicious-looking landmark, that chocolate-dipped cone in the sky located in Triangle City, West Columbia. Under it, the legendary Zesto, where folks have come from miles around the last 6 decades to enjoy the absolute best Zesto burgers, sandwiches, homemade slaw dogs, and hot fudge sundaes. All fast and fresh and friendly. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 p.m.
All right, if I step up, let me know.
ZestoWestColumbia.com.
All right, I'm sorry. We're back. I was going to play a little bit of music there, but I want to get right back in here because we're going to be pushed for time tonight if Coach Boyd calls us to talk about what he's got to talk about. So the playoff system that we currently have, obviously we've seen the shortcomings of what we have right now. With too many teams in, we have teams, Richie, there's 24 teams in the 1A bracket. They actually do a 24 team bracket, and of the 24 teams in, 11 of them have losing records. There's 10 teams in the 5A bracket, the biggest classification in the state, and there's 10 teams in that bracket that do not have winning records. So, you know, it's amazing to me that we're dealing with this. So, you know, when you look at the playoff systems around the country, you're going to see, and as far as reclassification and playoffs, we have 50 states and we've got like 54, 55 different systems that are out there. Now we could have the same thing here. We've got 5 classifications. We could have 5 different systems here because it's the classifications that actually determine this. I keep hearing people talk about the high school league and they need to do something about the playoffs. The high school league doesn't determine the playoffs. The high school league does the realignment, but it's up to each classification how they want to do their playoffs. For instance, 1A does a 2014 bracket. But I just think, you know, when we start talking about some of the teams that are in, like this year, Chapin, Listen, I love Justin Gentry. Justin Gentry is a great coach. Chapin's got a good program. They're doing good things over there. But the bottom line is they're 4-6. They're 1-3 in the region. They got an at-large bid. You know, Blythewood in 5A. Also, they get an at-large bid. They're 5-5, 1-3 in the region. You know, South Aiken gets an automatic berth. They get an automatic as a 4th team in their region, and they're 2-8 on the season. you know, it's crazy. And now we have Brooklyn Casey. This is another problem we have because of the at-larges. We have Brooklyn Casey and Buford, who are in the playoffs as one seeds. They're getting byes. And the reason they're getting a bye, because there were supposed to be three at-larges in the 4A lower state, is one of the at-large teams did not get their paperwork in time. They were like 10 minutes late getting their application for the playoffs in. So they were not selected an at-large team. That was Crestwood, which is ridiculous. I mean, how difficult would it be to put them in the playoffs, you know? But
yeah,
the other situation was that the at-large team didn't want to play. They just didn't want to be in the playoffs. So you got two teams with a, you know, with a bye. Meanwhile, Lower Richland, who's the number one seed in 4A, by the brackets, that's predetermined, they're having to play one of the at-large teams, Marlboro County. Now, the reason that they're playing instead of Brooklyn Casey and Buford is if you look at the way that they play the at-large teams into the playoffs, one of the criteria that they use is, first of all, they can't be within the same region. They have to finish no lower than fourth in their region, which Marlboro County fits both of those. And then they try to place them based on geography if they can, as close as they can. So Lower Richland was closer to Marlboro County than Brooklyn Casey or Buford in terms of mileage. So Lower Richland ends up having to play in the first round. Brooklyn Casey and Buford get byes. Brooklyn Casey doesn't want to buy. I talked to Coach Rusty Sharpie the other day. He didn't want to hit. They want to play. They want the gate, but they're not going to get a gate because high school league's not allowing Crestwood in because their paperwork was 10 minutes late getting there. So, you know, it's
right.
That needs to be changed. First of all, we're devaluing the hard work that the teams who fight and work their butts off to finish as region champions or runners up. We're devaluing that work. You know, we're devaluing the competition. We're devaluing what it means to get into the playoffs, making it mean something. I even said in the article, we give out playoff spots like we give out cookies and juice to Little League kids after games. I mean, everybody gets it. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
But and then the other thing is, the other thing I point out, we're losing money. There are districts in this state that are losing money on the playoffs because they're having to go on the road in that first round when they really shouldn't even be in the playoffs.
Right.
They got to fill the tanks up on the buses. They got to feed these kids. And some of these teams are traveling a long way. For instance, Richland Hardeeville is having to drive all the way to Gilbert to play Gilbert. And they're going to, I guarantee you, they're going to lose money. You know, they're not making any money on that game.
Right.
We mentioned Hemingway earlier. They're 0-10 hosting. I'll bet you money. I would bet that Hemingway doesn't make enough money on the gate on their game to pay the officials,
wow,
the clock operator, and security for the game. They're probably going to lose money on a home playoff game when they shouldn't even be in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think, Jim, they need to start really looking at. They're worried about so many other things that aren't broken, trying to change it around, and it's actually breaking it. And yet the things that they can control, the things that they need to control, the things that they need to go back and look at within the confines of the state, they're not even looking at. I mean, I could get into a couple of other things that they could get into, but right now we'll stay with the playoffs. But it's a system that needs to be tweaked from the top all the way to the bottom, and that's 5A all the way down to 1A.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, so here's – I had two proposals. I threw two proposals there. I like the first one. This is how it was back when I played. The first one is proposal one is only the best. And what that is, in that proposal, we're only going to allow the region winners and the region runner-ups in the playoffs. Now, everybody complains about, well, you know, we lose a gate, okay? Well, we could add an 11th game to everybody's schedule. We're cutting out two rounds of playoffs by only allowing the region winner and region runner-up in. So you could add an 11th game to everyone's schedule. You could really add two. But if you add one and go to 11 games, that means they're going to get a contract, a home-away contract for the two-year realignment period. So they're going to get at least one gate out of that. And so there's your money that you would be – actually, it actually would help some teams because some teams are going to go on the road in the first round and they're going to lose, not going to make any money, and they're going to come back. This gives them a home game. They won't go to the playoffs, but it gives them an extra home game. So, you know, they have opportunity to make some money. But only number one, only number two gets in. The argument against this, and I hear this every time I mention this proposal, well, our third place team is better than their second place team. You know what my answer to that is? You're not entitled. Finish in your top two of your region. You know, that's what I say, you know. And right. and that's really how it should be. The second proposal, and this is really just to pacify some of the people who I call the participation trophy generation, is called only the best plus eight. Okay, so in this proposal, I have like the first one, only the region winner and region runner up going into the playoffs. And that with automatic bids, then we allow eight at large berths. It'll be going to the next eight best teams. Now there's two ways we can select those teams. Okay. One, we could allow each region representative, for that classification. So for instance, 5A would have eight representatives to vote on who the eight at-large teams are going to be. And it would have to be, they would have to finish, obviously, in the top three of their region. And they would have to, and it would be based on record and everything. But those they would vote on that. The other thing we could do is we could do, go back to the point system only for the at-large teams. I'm not a fan of the point system, but I think you could do it for the at-large teams. Now, with the at-large teams in this proposal, neither upper or lower state are guaranteed half of the at-large bids. The bids are going to go to the next best eight teams as voted on by the region reps or as determined by points. There would be four byes if you did it this way because you're looking at a 24-team bracket. So the way you could do the byes is the regions would rotate in each of the 2 years of realignment. So in other words, in the first year, in the upstate, region one and region three would get the byes. In the second year, in the upstate, region two and region four would get the byes. And that's how we set up home field advantage, the predetermined home in the playoff brackets now is they rotate it each year. So that's not really no different than that. But, you know, right. It's not rocket science. I mean, you know, and you know what? Neither one of these proposals are perfect, but they're far better than what we have now. And I would like to see people discussing this. I'd like to see the ADs and the head coaches discussing this.
You know, I think that's the answer. I mean, how much do they allow? How much do those guys in Columbia sit up there that may or may not have played the game, may or may not have coached, may or may not have had things to do? And I get that. I've seen the pictures where there are coaches up there. I know the athletic directors go up there. I get it. But when it comes to certain things, they need to really listen to those who are in the middle of it, not those who were in it last, you know, like 5-10 years ago. No, because it's a different situation today than it was yesterday. Again, you know, certain things they're allowing these coaches to do now or not do that they used to let them do type of thing. So, you know, I think that they allow coaches, Jim, to come in, sit down and listen to the coach. Get two coaches from each region. Have a big luncheon, sit down and talk to them. Let them tell everybody what they deal with, because I promise you, I think you'll hear the same complaint from almost every coach that they deal with across the state.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, and again, for the people that don't realize this, this is something that is decided on by the classifications. The high school league is not telling 5A, hey, you gotta let in, you know, 32 teams. They're not telling 4A or 3A they got to do it a certain way. That's why for years when we were in a four class system, you'd see 4A and 2A and 1A would split for the playoffs in the two divisions, and 3A never did it. 3A decided they didn't want to do it, so 3A didn't do it. The high school league does not mandate that, so. If 5A decided this year, you know what, next year, starting with next year's realignment, we're only going to let in number ones and number twos, they could do it. It's their decision. So, you know, it's something that, you know, that they're going to have to seriously sit down and look at. I just think that it's ridiculous that we've got teams that are 0-10 and 4-6 getting in the playoffs. And you've got some, like I said, some of these rural teams that really don't, this is what gets me about the money, Richie. You've got teams that are going to spend districts that are losing thousands of dollars. Okay. They literally are losing thousands of dollars to travel for a playoff game. Okay.
Wow.
Some of these districts that lose that money, they don't even have books for all their kids in the school. They've got classrooms that have 32 books or 30 books, and they leave them in the classroom. So each class that comes in, they have to share it. Meanwhile, the same school district is going to spend $1,500 or $2,000 for their team to go on the road in the first round of the playoffs with a 2-8 record and get their brains beat in. So, I mean, it's crazy. Something's got to be done about it. I don't know what the answer is, but I know that the proposals that we put out there are certainly better than anything we've got right now. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to pull the brackets up. We're going to look at the top games around the state, and we're going to try to do some predictions on South Carolina high school football playoffs. You're listening to the Sunday Drive on SCVarsity.com.
Score big your next tailgate with one of Maurice's barbecue party specials, like Maurice's rib special. 2 pounds of pulled pork cooked low and slow. A full rack of fall-off-the-bone ribs. 3 big pints of southern sides. 10 rolls, a gallon of tea, and 18 ounces of Maurice's signature sauce. Feed 10 for about $6 a person. Now that's tailgate. More at Maurice'sBarbecue.com. Their pits have been hot since 39. Go team!
That great smoke taste is cooking up for you at Maurice's Piggy Park Barbecue.
You ever get frustrated with your lawn maintenance problems, or perhaps have some landscaping issues that you need to take care of? Windmill Services can help you out. They're not just a landscaping company. They offer a variety of services for all of your outdoor needs. You can hire them for one-time jobs like landscaping, design installation, irrigation installation or repair, sod installation, and even outdoor lighting services. They also are available for ongoing services like scheduled lawn mowings, landscape maintenance, and grounds maintenance. They've been providing professional outdoor services for 25 years to residential and commercial properties in and around the Columbia, South Carolina area. Give them a call today at 803-513-3662 or visit them on the web at windmillservices.net. More than...
You're listening to Jim Baxter and the South Carolina High School Blitz on the SC Varsity Radio Network.
All right, back in, and we're talking playoffs.
Playoffs? Playoffs?
Playoffs. So, Richie, what I thought we'd do is bring up the brackets and take a look. We're going to start with 5A and go through, mention some of these games and that I think are going to be interesting matchups for Friday night, and jump in anytime and talk about any game you want to talk about as I go through here. But I'm going to mention every matchup. We got it starting in the upstate 5A. Blythewood, who I mentioned earlier, as an at-large team coming in playing at Lawrence. Lawrence with a surprise season this year. Nation Ford going to Burns to play the Rebels. I tell you, I don't think it's going to be a great game, but this Burns team, I know they lost to Dorman earlier in the season, in regular season, but I think this Burns team is going to be the team to watch in the upper state. Woodmont at Sumter. Sumter Gamecocks finished unbeaten this year. Number one seed coming out of there, win their region in Region 4 5A. I think the Sumter team, Richie, because they happen to be in the Midlands and Dutch Fork is also in the Midlands, I think the Sumter team has quietly gone unnoticed this year. But, I mean, they're a very strong football team. I tell you, Mark Barnes has got a heck of a football team. This team's got, and I'd have to go back and look at my notes because I've got all these kids on paper, but I'm just going to throw this number out there. They've got at least 7, maybe 8 Division I prospects on that football team.
Yeah, the fun part about this, and I grew up in Myrtle Beach up there, went to Sacasea, so I'm familiar with Sumter, the Gamecocks. We didn't play them in our region back in our day. They were always in that Columbia side. Recently, they've been in and out of that low country, or excuse me, that Grand Strand PD region. But they're always fast. I mean, baseball, basketball, football, they've always had good athletes all over that school. And not surprised that these guys are still doing things and in a great position. I mean, if you want to be a guy in the playoffs, you want to be that undercover kind of guy. I mean, Goose Creek's kind of that down here on this side. Up there, of course, is Sumter. But there again, they've always got a defensive end that's really fast. He looks like Jadeveon Clowney. It seems like every year they just reload that position. And then a quarterback that cannot usually only run it. He can throw it, and a running back that can kind of make you pay for things. And then there's fast receivers on the outside. So, you know, again, I like the factor that Sumter's kind of right where they are. Nobody's talking about them, but the Gamecocks, this is one Gamecock here in the state that you'll probably hear a little bit more out of.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you listen, they've got a quarterback that nobody's talking about that's an outstanding quarterback. Their backup quarterback's good. Their backup quarterback's going to play college football, I guarantee you. They've got two wide receivers that are Division I, already have Division I offers and committed. They've got a defensive back that's committed to South Carolina. They've got a defensive end that's a junior that has got, I don't know, 7, 8 Power Five offers right now. It's just a team that needs to be watched. I mean, they're gonna end up probably, you know, in the third round, seeing one of these other teams, a Dorman or a Burns. Next in line, they got Gaffney at Rock Hill. Man, I tell you what, if I'm Rock Hill, I do not want to see Gaffney in the first round of the playoffs. And this Gaffney team is better than their record indicates. They've got Stan Ellis back. A defensive back and wide receiver for them. He's been out for 6 weeks with injury. He came back last week and tore it up. Jamari Littlejohn, All-State linebacker commitment to Appalachian State, is out towards ACL. But his younger brother, Damari Littlejohn, has stepped up as a wide receiver. And I'm telling you, between he and Ellis, they're very dangerous. This is a team that could go on the road to Rock Hill and win that game. Greenwood at Dorman. I don't think Greenwood's got anything for Dorman. Westside at Spring Valley, that's another situation where I don't know how a team like Westside's going to make money in the playoffs traveling down here to Spring Valley. But that's a game that's winnable for them. Spring Valley has a way of making mistakes and putting the ball on the ground. And if they do that, you can't afford to do that with good teams. You can't afford to do that in the playoffs. Bowling Springs at Clover, another team. I don't understand how they got in the playoffs, but they're going to Clover, and they'll be packing up equipment on Monday morning. Malden at T.L. Hanna, that should actually be a pretty good matchup. I think this is another situation where the traveling team could actually win this game. So that's a look at the upstate. Lower state, I'll talk about one. You can talk about the low country teams. Chapin at Dutch Fork, this game shouldn't even happen. Chapin's at large. They've already played Dutch Fort once. Dutch Fort won handily. And same thing's going to happen again. Wando at Conway. Talk about that one for a minute. Wando's down in your neck of the woods, and you're familiar with Conway.
Well, you know, this is an interesting one. I'm actually breaking that down as we speak. That's pretty funny. So Conway comes in here, and Somerville scrimmages these guys every year in the preseason. So I get a chance to see Coach Terry come down. He played it at Conway. He's a good guy. His son is the starting quarterback. He has a chance to do some big things. They've always got fast receivers, good running back. But these teams are very similar because you're not sure what team is going to show up. Wando's the same thing. Wando's got this kid, Braden Pritchard, over here, thrown for over 1,600 yards, got about 16 or so touchdowns in the air. They've got a kid back there in the backfield. If they can open up that passing game, Jaden Singleton, who I watched him run against Somerville, looked really good, really fast. Has a chance if he gets around the corner, because you do not understand the words. Don't run up the middle, because there's that D1 committed to South Carolina, Taka Hemingway, waiting on you. Okay, and that's going to be the chess match, is this huge line from Conway, led by that Division I, already committed to the Gamecocks, Hemingway. With that line, if they can put the press on, and you've seen Goose Creek able to shut that down, you've seen Berkeley shut it down this year. So if they watch a little bit of that film, it could be a long night for Wando, of course, as they'll see Conway. But this one, actually, because these two teams are so identical in who's going to show up, who's not, this may be one of the best games in 5A across the whole state.
And the prize that goes to the winner, they get Dutch Fork in the second round.
And then they will be packing their stuff up the following day.
Yeah, they'll be packing their stuff up. Lexington at Fort Dorchester. I'm very familiar with Lexington. I know somebody over there. And it's my alma mater. And I think that, they're going to be unmatched. I mean, Lexington is one of those teams that they're very unassuming. You know, when you watch them warm up, you look at them and say, yeah, you know, we're probably going to blow them out. And then you get on the field with them and they're relentless and they don't make mistakes. They're very well coached. They don't really have a dynamic player on their football team, but I'd take every one of them. They're going to Fort Dorchester to take on a very tough Fort Dorchester team. A team that's got a 2-quarterback system. They got a freshman quarterback that, if he doesn't make mistakes, is capable of being one of the best in the state on any given night. They've got a defensive the front 2/3 of their defense is awesome. You know, they got a defensive line is awesome. Their linebackers hit hard. But I do think this is going to be a fairly good matchup. I think if Fort Dorchester is going to watch Lexington's film and probably underrate them, and Lexington will come in and surprise some people.
Yeah, you know, this is one I'm interested in. You and I have already talked about this. Once this game kind of came out, we figured it out on Friday night. We talked a little bit after I got off the air doing the Somerville game against Fort Dorchester. It is as advertised. Like I tell you, this is going to be a big matchup in so many ways. You mentioned that they've got a young quarterback over there that has really done a good job. He's a 14-year-old quarterback. His name is Zoltan Osborne. Now, he started for the second week in a row over there, and he went, 9-for-14, I think 155 yards. But the story of the game for me wasn't that quarterback. It was a senior quarterback. They had to rely on a guy that's very similar to Dekarion Joyner. And I give DeAndre Saab credit. This kid, his legs alone opened up that threat, and then they were able to put this running back there, and he had a big night, number 23, did really well, able to kind of counterbalance. And then they kept running the bubble, and they ran another bubble. So they showed us some things that I think that weren't on film that we were able to kind of see because of what you can put out there on different avenues. But Kirsten Pratt, again, he went into halftime down by 3 and still came out in the defense. Like you mentioned, they've got a defensive front maybe as good as anybody they've seen, minus what they'll see from Dutch Fork, but very good, very well disciplined and organized football. That Friday night, it could be a good one for a little while. I think Fort Dorchester's got too much talent on the second level and maybe even on the third level, because, you know, when I talked to Coach LaPrade, you know, and he said this very humbly, he said, man, I've got a problem, but it's a good problem to have. I'm loaded with a lot of kids, and getting them in and out of here is tough. And I started thinking, that's a little bit like Clemson. They're 2-3 deep, and some of these second and third string kids would be starters anywhere else in the low country.
Well, Lexington's about 0.5 deep, so it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. West Florence at Berkeley. I don't, West Florence is one of those teams that when they show up to play football, I think they can be very competitive. I don't think they have anything on the road for Berkeley. I think Berkeley moves on. Cane Bay at Carolina Forest. Carolina Forest with one of the top quarterbacks. I feel the second or third best quarterback in the state of South Carolina, and Mason Garcia. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. I think Carolina Forest wins that game. West Ashley at River Bluff. I can tell you right now, West Ashley's going to see the best running backs that they've seen all year. River Bluff is loaded. They got 2 running backs, Braden Walker, who is a Shrine Bowler. They've got a junior, Riley Myers, who is a mirror image of Braden Walker and just a year younger. And, I tell you, they're a very dangerous football team on the ground. They're not that great in the air. If you can manage to slow them down on the ground, you have a shot. I haven't seen anybody do it yet this year other than Dutch Fork. South Florence at Goose Creek. I like Goose Creek in that game. Lugoff Elgin at Somerville. We'll talk about that one for a second because you're obviously very familiar with Somerville. Lugoff Elgin's coming to town, and Lugoff is one of those teams – that did not have a great season. In fact, in the preseason, I did not expect them to win a region game. Now, because of the tiebreakers and everything, they end up finishing third in their region and on the road at Somerville. And this team, Richie, is not a very good team offensively, but they're really surprising on defense. I mean, they've got a very good defense. I mean, they played everyone that they have played including Sumter. They played very well on the defensive side of the football. Bill Bacon's over there as a defensive coordinator. Matt Campbell, of course, the head coach, former Gamecock. Very well-coached football team. They just don't have a lot of talent, but they play above their talent, and they overachieve. And I think that Somerville – I think Somerville wins this football game, but I tell you, I think Somerville is going to be surprised at the defense that they face.
Yeah, this is going to be the fun matchup. Again, you have a Coach Spivey who we've been very fortunate. We've been in Somerville when I call the games on Friday nights, that we've got a young quarterback, but he's mindful-wise. He's getting better every week. He actually didn't do bad this past week. You know, they just countered us in areas that we didn't maybe expect. I'm not sure. But Somerville's going to come at these guys with three different running backs that run three different ways. What I mean is that they have their own styles. We have a Jerome Bettis except out there. We have a Marcus Lattimore. And then we got this kid looks like Dunn that's able to kind of do a whole different ball game. And that's very – it's unheard of. And then you have a quarterback that's a dual threat. This kid can throw it. He hit – Brody Hopkins committed to play baseball at the College of Charleston in stride. I mean, put it right in his breadbasket between two defenders. So that's going to be the fun part. But like you mentioned, this other team, they're aware that they have a very good defense. They don't give up a lot. So you're going to have to make the best you can. But here's where I think Somerville is going to have their leg up. Braden Gregory, their kicker, drained one for about 50-plus over the weekend, somewhere, well, 45 to 50. That's huge. The special teams over at Somerville have really stepped up. And then the defense, led by Luke Taylor, the defensive back, and they've got a kid that plays in the secondary. Both of these two kids are kind of competing for who's going to get the most turnovers. And they force you to make the play, and they force you to hold on tight to the ball because the takeaways that these guys have, it's almost a fun competition. There's about four guys right now that are charting it. Every time they come back to the clubhouse, they just put another number down.
All right. I think it's going to be a great game. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to talk 4A football. And I want to try to wrap up 4A quick enough that we can – I want a few minutes to talk about the charter school thing. There was so much activity on my Twitter account today debating with people about the charter schools and Oceanside Collegiate and Gray Collegiate and Legion Collegiate and all these charter schools. And I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. And I want to get into that just a little bit. Before we finish this show, wrap this show up, we'll discuss 3A, 2A, 1A on Wednesday night, but we'll finish up 4A tonight. Now, message from the sponsors. We'll be right back after a short break.
If you have roofing or construction needs, call Pac-Man Contracting LLC. Roofing, rebuilds, remods, and additions, Pac-Man Contractors can do it all. A veteran-owned company, licensed, bonded, and insured, call 803-363-0739.
Whether it's lunch, dinner, or taking home a bucket of the best fried chicken known to mankind, the one place you can get it all is Zesto in West Columbia. And they've been serving the freshest made-to-order Zesto burgers, hot fries, homemade coleslaw, and delicious hand-spun shakes and desserts for the last 65 years. Man, that's a lot of milkshakes and a lot of smiles. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 p.m. ZestoWestColumbia.com.
All right, we're listening to the Sunday Drive. Jim Baxter from SCVarsity.com, joined by Richie Altman from Southern Sports Central and the Low Country of South Carolina. Van Halen coming back in, man. Richie, I tell you, that was one of my favorite concerts when I was coming up, going to see Van Halen at Carolina Coliseum. And I saw them at their last tour, too. But I'll tell you a Van Halen story. I saw Black Sabbath back in 75, maybe 76. And they had an opening band for them. And the band was incredible. The band was called Mammoth. And they were incredible. And they had this young guitar player that played this incredible guitar. They just slayed it. Did things with a guitar I've never seen done before. And the guitar was red and it had stripes all over it. Mammoth was Van Halen. They released their first album the year after that. And I mean, it was an incredible concert. But anyway, back to 4A football. Now we got the 4A brackets. 4A again had some problems this week with the at-larges. There were some people unhappy over at Lower Richland High School about the way they did the buys. Now, one of the things I don't understand, you know, I was talking to Coach Barr, they were upset about Brooklyn Casey and Buford getting a buy. And when I mentioned, well, Brooklyn Casey wants to play, I'd want to play. If I'm coaching, I want to play. I don't want a week off. I want the gate and I want my kids playing. And they said, oh, well, we want to play. Well, then what are you complaining about? I mean, if you want to play, why are you complaining about not getting a buy? Anyway, 4A Upstate, you know, we talk a lot. I think 4A Upstate is going to be very interesting, very competitive when we get to the third round of this thing. Palmetto's at Greenville. Greenville's a team that, you know, I think is probably surprised a lot of people this year. You know, Coach Porter left Hillcrest last year and went to Greenville, and he's, you know, he managed to take Hillcrest, who was a team in the doldrums of high school football, to a state championship and won it. So I think that the people of Greenville think that they've got a gem in Coach Porter, and I think that they're expecting to win this game, this first round game, and see this team make some noise in the playoffs. York at Belton Honeypath. I tell you, York is just right now not an extremely talented team. They've lost a lot of players. They got seven players. I was talking to Coach Boyd about this as we were talking about recruiting one day, and they have seven players that are supposed to be playing for York High School that are starters on other teams. And they left. And I think I mentioned this to you in the first week. One of those players is an all-state player playing linebacker for Myrtle Beach. Greer at South Point. Greer, I expected to be much better than they are this year. They are actually not, and they're taking on a South Point team that is firing on all cylinders right now. I think South Point's going to be one of those two or three teams that are going to be the teams to beat in this upstate. Orangeburg-Wilkinson at Wren. I think it could be a good matchup, Orangeburg-Wilkinson, with a young quarterback and a freshman running back that's been doing great things. But they're taking on a Wren team that's well-coached with Coach Tate. And they're loaded at the wide receiver position. The quarterback has put up big numbers because of the wide receivers they've got. They've got a good running back that I think is probably underrated. I've got him ranked number 7 in the state, in the upstate running backs, and number 14th overall in the state. So he's pretty good. Lancaster at Daniel. I like Daniel as one of the favorites. I think Daniel's probably got the most dynamic player in the upstate 4A. And Tyler Venables, I think that he is one of the best athletes in the state of South Carolina. He's going to play safety for Clemson, but he's playing quarterback for these guys, and he's dangerous. Westwood at Eastside. This is going to be a good game. Eastside is a very strong passing team. Westwood got a good defense, and they're a team that also likes to pass. They got two really good wide receivers. Cam Atkins is just come on late in the season and become one of the best, more dangerous offensive players in the Midlands area. Travelers Rest at Ridgeview. Travelers Rest, a much improved football team than they have been in the last decade, but they're going to a Ridgeview team that I think has got one of the best defensive fronts in the state, and that's going to be tough. I like Ridgeview in this game. I skipped right over Walhalla and AC Floor. AC Floor, I think, has got one of the best defenses in the Midlands, and I don't think Walhalla is going to win a road game at AC Floor. Lower State, Marlboro County at Lower Richland. I talked a little bit about that. I don't think Lower Richland has any trouble with Marlboro County. Colleton County at Airport. You're familiar with Colleton County. How do you think they fare in this first round? Are they a playoff contender?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, you have to look at Colleton County. I understand that they're 3-6, but they play a very weird, I'd say, region over there. I think they're stuck over there in region 7-4A over there. Of course, they're 1-2 in the region. They lost to Buford over the weekend, 31-21. But it's, again, there's so many teams here in the Lowcountry that one week they'll win by 20. The next week they'll come in here and they'll lose by 10. They'll lose by 15. So it just depends what team shows up there. Athletic-wise, you won't find it. And this is something a lot of coaches down here will agree with you in the Lowcountry. Colleton County is locked and loaded full of athletes over there in the school. Just getting them out there on the field, getting them to do what needs to be done, that's kind of the challenge they have. But, again, I'm not sure what Colleton County team they're going to show up, that kind of determines who wins it.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're playing Airport, and Airport's one of those teams. They're dangerous. Airport's got a team that, they got some all-stars on that team. They got a quarterback that's pretty good. They got one of the best wide receivers in the state in Nanders Lawrence. He goes by Butch Lawrence. And I just think this team is probably underrated. They lost to their rival, Brooklyn Casey, Friday night, which gave Brooklyn Casey the region championship. But this Airport team is dangerous. Longtime coach over there, Kurt Burnett, does a good job with that program, and I think it's going to be a good game. Lakewood at Myrtle Beach. Listen, I don't even know why we talk about that game. Myrtle Beach is going to win that game hands down. North Myrtle Beach at North Augusta. North Myrtle Beach at North Augusta could actually be a pretty good game, and that could be another game that we see the road team win. North Augusta is down this year, not playing as good as they have in the past. I think they've lost some athletes to attrition, I just think that because of that, North Myrtle Beach has got a chance in this game. Brooklyn Casey gets a bye. Wilson will travel to Hilton Head. I'm going to tell you right now, if I was Hilton Head, I would not want to see Wilson in the first round of the playoffs. Wilson is a team that if they show up to play football, they're as good as any other 4A team in the state. And they had Myrtle Beach on the ropes in the first half of their game and then just fell apart in the second half. Myrtle Beach came back and won that football game, but they were on their way to an upset win over Myrtle Beach. Buford gets a bye. South Aiken at Hartsville. I think South Aiken goes to Hartsville and lays an egg. Any of those lower state games other than Colleton County interest you, Richie?
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. Isn't the team Hilton Head you mentioned, they just won their way in the playoffs Friday night? That Christian Miller's their big-time defensive back kid that's, I think already he's heading to the Shrine Bowl. Is that the same team I'm thinking about down there?
That's the same team. They're very good, very good football team. I mean, they're well coached.
Right.
Christian Miller, one of the top DBs in the state. Clearly, they've got one of the players is underrated for that team that you just don't see a lot about. Is they got a quarterback.
Right.
Gaston Moore. He's strong, armed kid, athletic. He's more of a pro style passer and can throw a deep ball, but he's mobile enough to extend plays and throws the long ball really nice. I mean, he can throw a really good long ball. He runs good RPO, makes good decisions with the football, and he's got some FCS interest in him. I think he's a kid no one's talking about, but I think that he could actually be the difference in that football game this weekend when they see Wilson. Wilson, of course, has a quarterback that's very good. They're very athletic, very physical football team. So, like I said, I would not, if I'm Hilton Head, I would not want Wilson to be my first round draw. That's not a typical first round draw. But
they're good,
Wilson Wilson plays in such a tough region that, they ended up, in the third having to go on the road. So, but anyway, so before we get out of here, I wanted to talk a little bit, Richie, about the charter school situation. And because there was so much activity on my Twitter account today, and it felt like, and listen, people are talking to me that, about defending Chad Greer, and defending OCA. And I'm not defending these guys. I'm just saying, get your information right, I'm not defending them at all. If Oceanside Collegiate played kids that they shouldn't have been playing, went over the four quarters allowance, dressed in two games, on the same week against Phillip Simmons, they should have to forfeit the game. That's not going to change the standings in that region. They still beat Timberland the following week. So I'm not defending them in that respect. I'm defending them in the respect that I continue to have people get on here and say, the charter schools are recruiting. The charter schools are, recruiting kids from the other schools. And I've given them ample opportunity to tell me who. Tell me who's recruiting, name them, and tell me what kids they're recruiting. Because if you look at Oceanside, and I'm just going to use them for an example, they don't have a kid on that football team that started anywhere else in the Lowcountry. And,
right.
you know, and so tell me who's recruiting. I'm not saying you're not accurate. I'm just saying, tell me if you got information, give it to me, you know, give it to the high school league. But,
right. So you mentioned a good point though, Jim, because if you think about it, I mean to cut you off, but if you think about it, he's got kids, and I can speak on a running back that he's got over there. He was not a starter in Somerville. He was not a starter anywhere else he went. But he is the leading rusher down here, Keegan Williams. They were off this weekend, so he'll finish the regular season with 1,364 yards, 29 touchdowns. They've got a quarterback. He was born in Mount Pleasant, but if you research where the school is located, it's in Mount Pleasant. So why wouldn't you go to the school that you could be, I guess, get the best opportunity at? Isn't that what it's all about? He does a good job, and he's thrown for 22 touchdowns and over 2,000 yards. I mean, you're talking about a 1-2 punch, one up in the air, one down on the ground. And, of course, they've got a receiver sitting over there just catching it as well, and Walker Rue, who's got 645 yards and 8 touchdowns. Again, I don't want to label these kids as the kids nobody wants or the land of the misfits, but if I was Chad, you and I have talked about this. I've talked about this with Chad as well. Say, look, he's got a lot of kids. He's like Steve Spurrier to some degree, so I know a lot of people are rolling their eyes. But Steve Spurrier took Connor Shaw, who came in as a 3-star. He walked out of here stud. He walked out of here 5 stars, doing the things he did, setting records. Again, we would have never heard about this kid possibly, not given the right coach to the right player. And that's a very important thing. If you don't believe me that the coaches have to match the players, you saw what happened an hour ago at Florida State. They have 5-star kids all over the field. There's no reason this guy couldn't find a way to win. But Chad Greer brings out the best in a lot of these young kids that may not have even had an opportunity or had, you know, the know-how how to get it done the way they've done this year.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, I had another guy that – and listen, it's like they come out of the woodworks. You know what? If they want to come at me, man. I mean, it frees Chad up. He can focus on the game this week. But, you know, my thing is that, you know, I had another coach that was saying – well, you know, the charter schools should play by the same rules. Well, they do play by the same rules. They've got the same rules. I want to clear this up. People think that charter schools can take kids from all over the state their first year of existence. That is not true. The rule is, what they can do is they can take kids from anywhere in the state, doesn't have to be their attendance zone, as long as they are there the first day that the school opens, the opening day of the school. Okay, and I'm not meaning the school year. I mean the first day that school opens. Those kids can come from anywhere in the state. If they come at any other time during that first year of existence, they have the same transfer rules they have to abide by as any other member school of the South Carolina High School League. That's a fact. All right. So they can't. That's one thing to sell. So the other thing is they say, well, they got to follow the same rules. They're held to the same standards on recruiting and anything else. If you've got information on them recruiting kids, you need to report it because they're held to the same standard as everyone else. I had a coach that mentioned, well, you know, they have, and this one cracks me up. They've got unfair competitive advantages. Okay. So my answer to that is, which advantages are you referring to? Are you referring to not having facilities? Are you referring to have to play on the road all the time? Are you referring to not having a weight room for your kids? Which advantage is it that you're pointing to? I mean, because none of those are advantages. So the guy comes back and he says, well, they can lease facilities. They rent really nice facilities. I'm like, how in the hell is that an advantage that you're having to rent a facility? So I asked him, I said, do you guys rent a facility? So you rent a facility at your institution. Oh, no, we got our own. Well, there you go. They don't have an unfair advantage. It's not an advantage that your school has to go pay money so you've got somewhere to play. And I wish
some people could make that trip down here and see what Chad Greer had to go with. Because before he got to the school they're at now, they had to go almost to McClellanville to have the school. They have had the facilities that were nowhere near. I don't know where they're getting their numbers from. Again, not everything you read on the internet is true. I know that's a slogan, and that's all it is a slogan, because the guys that live in the upstate, the guys that live in other places around anywhere in the low country. And even if you're here in the low country, if you've not ventured over to Oceanside, go introduce yourself. They would love to have you on campus. I've made it to campus. I can tell you what's over there. It's nowhere near as nice as what's at Wando. It's nowhere near as nice as what you see at Berkeley or Goose Creek or even West Ashley, for that matter. And of course, you know, Fort Dorchester and Somerville has their own things. But help me understand their weight room. I walked in their weight room. Their weight room is about the size of maybe two bathrooms together. It's an extremely small weight room that they have. So what are they renting? I don't understand that concept, and I'm glad you touched on this because I spoke to the Gray collegiate coach up there in Columbia yesterday. And again, same thing. Guys, if you don't like what they're doing, play them. That's what we were taught as kids all the time is, look, play the best. If you think they're the best, then play them. And then that'll shut all this up.
Listen, nobody gave a rat's ass about charter schools until they started winning in football. Nobody cared about these schools. You ever hear anybody complain about James Island? Hell no. Nobody complained about James Island. You never hear anybody complain about Calhoun Falls? No, you never hear anybody. Because you know why? Because you're not winning. These guys came in. They took their bumps the first couple of years. They got these kids' brains beat in playing the schedule they played on the road every game. And you know what? Through good coaching and yes, they've had kids come to their school that have moved to their district as legal transfers that are playing there that were not playing at the previous schools they were at, and now they're winning. So now everybody's complaining about it, and I don't get it. You know, if you hate them, play them. You know, play them. You know, I think it's your responsibility as a coach. It's your responsibility as a coach to make sure the kids in your program want to play for you. And that's just how I feel. I mean, if they don't want to play for you, there's a reason they don't want to play for you. Either they're not playing or you're doing something that makes a kid not want to play for you, you know? And I think that's it. Well, Richie, I know you got somewhere to be, and we are up against the time again, but it's been a great show. Appreciate you joining me. I'm looking forward to another week of playoffs. We'll be back on Wednesday. You're going to join us on Wednesday?
Yeah, I'm good to go, man. Looking forward to it. By then, we'll have a few new headlines.
Yeah, we'll be back on Wednesday with the South Carolina High School Blitz, and we'll be going over the 3A, 2A, 1A brackets and taking calls. Anybody wants to call in and get their voice. It's amazing. I put it up on Twitter for these guys that were arguing with me today to call in and let's talk about it. They don't want to talk about it.
Cricket.
They want to do it on Twitter. Call
Keyboard
me.
Warriors,
talk, man.
Those are the best ones. Those are the guys. It's like being clipboard Jesus, man. It's the best quarterback is the backup quarterback. And the best guest you got, well, he's the guy that's on the other side of that phone pushing buttons. So, we hear it all the time here. We've been doing this a long time.
That's it. Well, man, I appreciate it. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us on the South Carolina High School Blitz Sunday Drive version. I'm Jim Baxter from SCVarsity.com. He's Richie Altman from Southern Sports Central. And we will be back Wednesday. Have a good week.
Well, I'm telling you, if one